Who reckons that I can bring a message in under 20 minutes? Who believes in miracles? Come on, we're going to do this. Father, we just thank you for everybody who's in church today. Lord, it's just so good to be able to come and worship Christ the Lord. And we started off this service by saying, Lord, that any of us can encounter Almighty God. And we thank you for the beautiful service that we've had so far. But Lord, as we just briefly listen to an encouragement from the Word of God, we pray, Jesus, that we'll all encounter you right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I won't speak for very long, but the title of today's message is The Big Decision. The Big Decision. Who knows that life is packed with decisions? Some of those are not so important. A lot of them are very important. So what is the big decision in view of the many decisions that you already make in life? Well, to answer that question this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to briefly look at the remarkable stories of two men from the Bible who made the big decision. These two men happened to live in the same town. But one was very poor and one was very rich. Yet both of these men had a radical and unexpected and wonderful life change after encountering Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at this first story. In fact, I might get a bit of help with this. I'm just in the mood. Daniel, would you like to help me? You're going to try? Daniel's going to read a passage from the Bible. Put your hands together for Daniel. And this is a really big deal. In fact, we've got it on the screen. So let's get up on the screen. You can actually read my notes and just keep going till read it with a bit of expression, okay? A bit of feeling, a bit of passion. And so this is about the first guy. You can follow Daniel on the screen, okay? Just from here.
Then they reached Jericho. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed them. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus sat beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see. He followed Jesus and went down the road.
Wow. Well done. Well done. Put your hands together. That was a big deal. Who knows? It's pretty scary looking at all of your faces. Yeah, so well done, mate. Well done. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the other story. And by the way, that story that Dan just read, that was an amazing and miraculous story. It's actually a very beautiful story. And in a way, that story that Dan just read out, that story of Bartimaeus actually could be your story today as well. Because all around the world, people are encountering Jesus Christ. And the eyes of their hearts are being opened and their lives are being changed. And your life can change today, starting this service over the next 10 minutes. So we're going to look at the other story, and it concerns a man named Zacchaeus. Anybody ever heard of that guy, Zacchaeus? How could you forget him? And Benjamin, how about you coming to read the next passage of Scripture? Thank you.
Awesome.
You can read it off the screen, or you can just read it here in my notes.
Zacchaeus, just to get it right. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Zacchaeus tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up and Zacchaeus and called him by his name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be with the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost."
Thanks, Benjamin. Well done. Well done. The story of Zacchaeus is a great story as well. It's a story of redemption, isn't it? And the story of Zacchaeus could also be your story too. Zacchaeus was not a nice man. He had ripped the people off when taxing them on behalf of the Romans. He was a cheat, really. He was a traitor, considered to be a traitor, and he was a thief. However, Jesus Christ specializes in redeeming bad people like me, like you, and like Zacchaeus. Jesus doesn't just make bad people good people. Jesus makes bad people new people. Big difference. Changes bad people into new people. Now, you could be here today and we don't know your story. You might have spent time in jail. You may be into porn, have a porn addiction. You may have a violent past, be a violent person. You might even be a thief. You might even be a cheat. And we can cheat in all sorts of different ways, can't we? But Jesus Christ still loves you. No matter where I've been, no matter what I've done, Amen. Jesus still loves us. And he came to rescue you from the life you are leading right now, just like he rescued Zacchaeus. Now, when you look at Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, at first glance, they seem to be very different men. Bartimaeus was blind and he was very, very poor. Zacchaeus was actually a very powerful man and very rich. Bartimaeus had to beg every day just to survive. Zacchaeus enjoyed all the comforts of life. They seemed to be very different men. But really, in reality, those things were just superficial. Because when you peel back the layers, you find that these men were just the same as each other. For inside their hearts, they were empty men. It's a terrible thing to be empty on the inside. They both had a God-shaped hole inside their heart that could only be filled with the presence of God in their lives. And really, I don't know everybody here, but really, it's the same for all of us in this room. We all need to have peace with God. We were created to have God's presence in our lives. And it's God's presence that is missing in your life. And the truth is, we function better and we do life much better with God than without God. Therefore, we all need redemption. I need redemption. You need redemption. We all need redemption and we need restoration that only Jesus Christ can give. Now, it might not be apparent to you, but I think it probably is. But Australia today is in a massive crisis. Australia is not doing very well. We are in the grip of a drug epidemic. In fact, this building before we came here was a place you could come and buy drugs from. Not now.
Just thought I'd just clarify that.
We're in the grip of unprecedented levels of domestic violence. It's getting out of hand. We're in the grip of a wave of depression. For many people, anxiety, stress, fear, and loneliness, that's a biggie. Loneliness is just a way of life for people. And all of these things and many more, really, they're just symptoms of people having empty hearts. That's what the real problem is. And it doesn't matter how much money our government throws at resolving social issues. This weekend, our wonderful Prime Minister has just said, pledged over $360-odd million to combat domestic violence. But I'm sorry, that's great, but it's not going to make much of a difference. Nothing is going to really change because the problem is a heart problem that only Jesus Christ can heal. And so blind Bartimaeus, getting back to these guys, blind Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, when you think about it, they had not planned to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And maybe you didn't plan to have an encounter with Jesus Christ when you came to church today. But guess what? You are going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And their day, just like your day, began like any other day. They just got out of bed if they had one. And yet, unexpectedly, Jesus Christ came into their town. And when he did, when they were aware that Jesus was there, both men immediately seized the opportunity to engage with Jesus in some way. One of them shouted for the attention of Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. The other man climbed a tree. And that was part of the first part of their big decision. And whether you're happy to be here at Real Life Church today or not, this is going to shock you, but sometimes people have come to church and not even been happy to be here. Shame on you. We'll give you a cup of tea afterwards anyway. Amen. But you might not even be happy to be here. I get it. You know, church might not be a thing. You're doing it because baptism, you know, baby getting dedicated, whatever. Somebody dragged you along. You might not be happy to be here. But this today could be one of those unexpected life moments for you, where you can engage with Jesus Christ even if you're not into that sort of thing. So for your own sake, I encourage you to seize the opportunity during the time of the opportunity. And both Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus seized their divine opportunity and they got the attention of Jesus. Which really is quite remarkable when you think about it, getting the attention of Jesus, because Jesus was just surrounded by so many people, massive crowd, lots of people around Jesus, huge crowd. But Jesus Christ constantly was on the lookout for people who needed and wanted him. He had a way of looking beyond the crowd. He had a way of seeing the crowd but looking at individuals within the crowd. He's always looking for the lost and he's always been looking for you. And he'd like to meet you today. So above the noise of the crowd, Jesus heard Bartimaeus crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus saw him. Jesus heard him. And Jesus knew Zacchaeus was above him in the tree. And Jesus knows about you here today. And you can get the attention of Jesus Christ while you sit in the middle of this congregation, hiding away. You can get to the attention of Jesus Christ today by just opening your heart to him. So Jesus said to the crowd, tell blind Bartimaeus to come to me. And on hearing this, blind Bartimaeus, he just immediately jumped up to respond to Jesus. And then Bartimaeus did something that was just very, very powerful and necessary. He got up, but then we read it. You read it. He threw aside his cloak or his coat. That was a second part of the big decision. The coat or cloak was Bartimaeus' most important possession. All the beggars had them. I read one report that actually the Roman government would issue them so they could be identified as legitimate beggars. It was important to him. It kept him warm when he was cold. And he would spread it out on the floor when he was begging so that the rich could place their coins on his cloak. And at the end of the day, and especially since he was blind, he would draw the cloak into himself and gather the coins that he'd received during the day. Otherwise, they'd be lost. His cloak represented his identity as a blind beggar. It was who he was. It said who he was. And he always had it with him. And he clung to his cloak and he held it tight year after year. But when Jesus called him, Bartimaeus threw it away. He threw his coat, cloak away. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, he didn't have a special cloak. He had lots of clothes. He was a wealthy man. But Zacchaeus had something else that identified him, had something else that he built his life upon. And Zacchaeus had money and lots of it. And there's nothing wrong with cloaks and coats. Of course there's not. And there's nothing wrong with lots of money. Who says amen to that? No, there's nothing wrong with lots of money. But it was what they represented to the two men that was the problem. And after Jesus had dinner with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus got up and said to Jesus, Jesus didn't ask him to do this. Zacchaeus did it himself. He needed to do this. And he said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Seriously? Seriously, what's going on with this man? And then he says, if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. You know, he had a lot of friends after that. Zacchaeus had extorted the people out of their money. Money was his thing. Money was his hope. Money was his future. It was his security. It was what gave him identity. It's all that he had. He had no other hope. He had no peace. He had no relationship with God. He knew he was going to hell. He knew he was a bad man. All he had was money. Money was his thing. But after encountering Jesus Christ, this man, Zacchaeus, experienced a huge paradigm shift in his thinking, and he experienced the presence of God filling his heart. And money can't buy that. Amen. And he no longer needed money as a crutch or as a thing to justify his existence. He didn't money to make him look big before other people, especially since he was so short. He had met Jesus, and the God-shaped hole in his heart was now filled by the presence of God. And the same thing can happen to you. So both Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus threw away those things that represented their past. They let go of their false life supports. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to that's keeping you ensnared and far from God? Is it an attitude? Is it bitterness? Is it an ambition? Is it a behavior? What are you holding on to that gives you identity? So Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus had to make a final decision. Did they want to keep holding on to their past life, or were they willing to let it go and follow Jesus? It's the biggest decision of your life. Calling upon Jesus, letting go of the past, and following Jesus was the biggest decision of their lives, and it is the biggest decision of your life and my life too. Interestingly, Jesus had earlier said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, listen to this, this is so important. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. Nearly finished. Just a little story. It's kind of a humorous story. It's actually in your newsletter. But there's a story of a man who fell over the edge of a steep cliff. And he tumbled down to certain death. But somehow, he managed to grab hold of a little shrub growing out from the side of the cliff. With his strength diminishing, he cried for help. Help me! Somebody help me! Finally, someone shouted back to him, I'll help you! The desperate man asked, who is it? And the person shouted back, I'm Jesus. I'll save you. Now the relieved man shouted back, thank God. What do you want me to do, Jesus? And Jesus shouted back, let go of the shrub. After a moment, the once again desperate man shouted back, is there anybody else up there? What are you holding on to that is stopping you from having the best life that God can give to you? Let go, let God. That's the biggest decision of your life. In conclusion, Jesus said, come to me, come to me. All of you are weary and heavy and carry heavy burdens. And that's all people here today. You're weary. Your life weary. You're carrying heavy burdens. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. The doorway to redemption, the doorway to salvation, the doorway to eternal life requires that you let go of the past and follow Jesus. Let go of the past and follow Jesus. There is no other way to redemption. Bartimaeus gained his eyesight and started to follow Jesus. Zacchaeus experienced redemption. He was saved and made brand new. What about you today? What about you? Jesus is here waiting for you. He who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is your moment. What are you going to do with it right now? Let's pray. Let's pray. A big decision. Service will be finished in about 3 to 5 minutes' time. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is a moment of decision. I urge you to make a big decision. I urge you to follow Bartimaeus' example and Zacchaeus' example. You might not have a cloak to throw away or money to throw away. But you want to reach out to Jesus right now. I'd love to pray for you. If you're saying, yes, I want to make that decision. I want to follow Jesus. I want to let go of my past. I want to be redeemed. I want my eyes opened. I want my sins to be washed away. I want to follow Jesus. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you could do a little bit of an action, you know, something to indicate that you're being really dinkum right now. And I will work with you right now as everybody's just praying. As you make your big decision, maybe you could just let me know that you're making that big decision by just waving at me. I've got my eyes open, actually. Everybody else, yeah, God bless you, darling. And down the back, anybody else? Wow, God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yeah, I can see you, mate. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Can I pray for you? Okay, a lot of people, about 4 people, just wave. Can we all pray together right now? Let's just all pray. And those of you just raised your hands, you know, earlier I got you all just to lift your hands like you're about to receive something. Maybe you could do that again, hey? Especially those who just want me to pray for them. Okay, you're about to receive something. What you're going to receive right now is an encounter with Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray for precious people that you've brought into this place today. Lord, needy people, broken people, people, Lord, who need an encounter with Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the day when I had an encounter with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've changed my life. I thank you, Lord, that you filled up the hole that was inside my heart with your presence. And I know, Lord, that you're going to do that right now for others who've raised their hands to you. And so, Father, we pray for those who've lifted their heart and their hand to you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come upon them in Jesus' name. Pray, Lord, as they let go of the past, that you'll wash away their sins, wash away everything that they've done wrong. We pray you'll cleanse them. Lord, cleanse them. Lord, cleanse them. Lord, all that wickedness, cleanse it away, wash it away, just like you did with Zacchaeus. Lord, just like you changed him and redeemed him. Lord, redeem my friends who have raised their hands to you today. Just wash the past away in Jesus' name. Forgive them, Lord. And Lord, we pray that they'll more than just change. We pray for those who raise their hands today, Lord, that, Lord, they'll become new people, brand new people in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray you'll fill their lives right now with peace, with your presence. And we pray, like Bartimaeus, they'll follow you for the rest of their lives. We pray that for those who have raised their hands today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And they're shouting. Come on, can we put our hands together? Thank you.